Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody.
Praise God, praise God. You know, I caught that tail end, and he said, these people think. We were talking about that today in Bible study, about how we get caught up in what people think and not what God thinks. We have to change the way we see how we're going to live our lives in Christ. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Yes, yes, yes. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. That is the greatest line that one can say. Somebody can save anybody. Our Lord can save anybody. No one has to be lost. No one has to be lost. It is an amazing thing to know that we can actually get right in line with God's word and know that we have a home beyond this life here. Praise be unto God. Again, good evening. I'm just excited by the opportunity. That's what I've been thinking about as I was getting ready for the show. The opportunity to be able to now stand before God and talk about his word to others. He had commissioned us to go into the world and share the gospel, the good news. That is what this is about. Again, as I was speaking about Bible study today, our job is to be, maybe some of you may know this old childhood story called Johnny Appleseed. Our job is to plant the seed of God's word so people can grow. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not the judge or the jury. We're just supposed to plant the seed and be that iron, that sharpened iron, when our brothers and sisters need us. Hallelujah. Well, let me go right into prayer. Father God, I just thank you right now, Father, for the blessing of blessings, the blessing to know that we have an eternal home with you. The blessing of blessing of knowing that even though we have that home there, we have a life here, a life that you said that we could have with abundance. I am excited about that abundance, Father God, because I understand now, Father God, that it's not about the gathering of the things that are here on earth. It is preparing ourselves like the five maidens who were prepared with their oil, Father God, for the treasures we're building in heaven. I thank you, Father God. And as I get ready to go forward, Father God, I pray right now for anyone, Father God, who may not know you, who may not understand you, who may not trust in you because of what they see man do. Man do. Man's ideal, man's opinion, man's behavior, that they lost hope, they lost trust, Father God. They've just given in, Father, to the ideal that you don't exist. or that you don't love them, or that you don't see them worthy. But, oh God, you sent your only begotten Son that we may have life, Father God, in a way that we cannot even imagine. So I'm praying right now for those, Father God, who seemingly are lost, Father God, who are seemingly are lost, Father God, that they open their hearts and they confess with their mouth that Jesus had been born, had lived, and died and ascended and sent into the right hand of you for the remission of our sins. And, Father, if they confess this now, Father God, you have welcomed them into your kingdom. And I thank you, Father God, that the angels are rejoicing right now. They're rejoicing just like they did for us, Father, who have accepted you already. They're rejoicing for the new child that has come into the kingdom. I thank you, Father God. And, Father God, even though they have now walked into the door, Father God, and the work is getting ready to begin, I thank you, Father God, that they will now be assured that you will never leave them or forsake them. They will now know the truth, that you are the way, the truth, and the life that they were missing out. I know what that missing out was all about because I was missing out on life until I experienced the life that you've been giving me. And I thank you for it. So I'm excited about anyone who's accepted you, anyone who has been the prodigal son, which I've been there too, Father God, who turned away and came back and just wanted to be a servant, but yet we are your child. You welcome as your child, Father God. You celebrate us coming back. We were once blind, now we see. I praise you, Father God, for their victory today in receiving you back into their life. And I pray right now, Father God, for everyone that is on this line, Father God. Yes, life is a challenge. Yes, life has its struggles. Yes, life has its ups and downs. But again, that life in you can help us overcome all that and more. So I thank you right now. I pray for everyone on this line, Father God. I pray not only for them, I pray for their descendants to come, that they will be blessed coming in and blessed going out. Whatever they set their hands to, shall prosper within you, Father God. That the plan you have for their life, Father God, will be brought to completion. That plan of prosperity, Father God, that they've never known. Not the way the world gives prosperity, but the way you give prosperity, Father God, with a certainty. A certainty that we don't have to worry about it molding and rusting or decaying, Father God. It is a part of the everlasting life. I thank you, Father God, that you give them hope. You give them hope for a future, Father God, that they know that the harm that may come their way, Father God, they will be protected by the blood of the Lamb. We know in this flesh things will come our way, but we know that Jesus has already paid the price. So I thank you, Father God, for this victory. I thank you, give us all that we need, and they will have a certainty to understand that the windows of heaven blessed will call blessings upon them. They wouldn't have room enough to contain it because you supply all our needs. They don't have to worry about the loss of a job. They don't have to worry about the income because when they have faith in you, Father God, you will supply. They just have to allow patience to have this perfect work, but you will supply. So I thank you, Father God. I go forward. Let me decrease. And let the Holy Spirit increase to help me deliver the dunamis power of your word, Father God, that the illustrations that you have given me will be, Father God, a window of understanding, that they can see clear, Father God, the importance of the power of your word in our lives. So I praise you, Father God, as I go forward. I thank you, Father God, that you would deliver that within me, Father God, by bringing all things to my remembrance that is needed to be said for the glory of you, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Oh, my rekishia makaro mikara. Do marakasia tu koshe. Dremo rokonia dakata. Dia kasum rokoshi me akatea. Dia mohoronde aka. Ha morokishi marakatea. Dia rokarakate. Dia mo Do not doubt my word. Do not doubt my word. Do not doubt my word. My word is a life unto you. Do not doubt my word. Do not doubt my word. Trust in me. I am with you always to the end of time. I am with you always to the end of time. Trust in me. Believe in me. Walk with me. Talk with me. For I will never leave you or forsake you. Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We say yes to you, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise be your name. Praise be your name. We gotta let the Spirit flow. Praise be your name. Be to your name. Praise be to your name, Father God. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Today's quote is, faith connects our weakness to God's strength. He gives us his breath and his strength. We must recognize the power of God's word, what it is doing. It is transforming us. We must recognize it. Thank you, Jesus. The situations that will stretch your faith most will be those times when life falls apart and God is nowhere to be found, seemingly. Rick Warren. If God answers your prayer, he is increasing your faith. If he delays, he is increasing your patience. If he doesn't answer, he has something better for you. God says he has something better for you. He has something better for you. I don't know who it's for, but I receive it for me. He has something better for you. Whatever you believe in God for, whatever you believe in God for, if it's delayed, he's increasing your patience. The first thing we know about love is patience. God loves you so much, he wants you to have the best. See, challenges will come for you, but as you trust in God, they will strengthen your faith. Neil Anderson. Today's scripture tells us, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trial of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James 1, 2 to 3. Hallelujah. My favorite scripture here. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 9. Let 39. Let me say that again. Let me say this scripture again. Let me say this again. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. If that don't move you, then you need to shake your spirit up. Hallelujah. And Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Again, another one that should shake you up today. I know life brings challenges. Anybody that's on this line cannot tell me they haven't had the trials and tribulations of life that has knocked you on your feet, took the breath out of the wind out of your breath, out of your lungs, I should say. You cannot say you haven't had those moments. I call them Job moments. But God is with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? And God is for us. Why? Because he sent his only begotten son. He sacrificed himself for us. How could he not give us every good thing? How could he not? His son. So I want to share a story with you as we move forward. And people who have had these challenges, who had to stir up their faith, who had to trust that God was with them, and that nothing could be against them if God was for, and that they would know that neither death or life could separate them from God. None of the things that exist in the world would separate them from God. Let me tell you the story. This is called Trusting God During Job Loss and Unemployment. Oh, many people unemployed. Even though I've talked to people say that now they're hiring everywhere and people are not taking it on. I don't know who those people are. That's just what I heard. But many people who want employment have lost their jobs. One of my friends recently, her husband lost his job after 20 years, and the concerns came about. But let me share this story. Just as our most recent trial ended less than a month ago when my husband lost his job and we were unemployed for over 18 months. Talk about trusting God for provision. It was incredibly humbling and difficult to know that when my husband would get a job, when would my husband get a job? If I was going to go back to work instead, or if we were going to move out of state. And, of course, there was all kinds of opportunity for fear, doubt, worry to steal my faith in God. That is Satan's mission, to kill, steal, and destroy. How would we pay our bills? We've been there. I remember we got burnt down in the 67 riot. I watched my father cry. That was the first time. Break down. A strong 6'2" man. Broke down because he lost it all. When would this trial end? Why was this happening to us? We've asked that question. I asked the question when I lost my daughter. I looked at her last breath leave her little body. I said, God, I understand. Why? Questions like these during the trials could rule my heart and wreak havoc on my emotions if I let them. There were many tear-filled days where my faith and joy level was stretched. But I kept reading my Bible and talking to God each day about everything I was going through. See, God is concerned about everything that we're going through. Everything that we're going through. Everything. I took it day by day, moment by moment, like I learned a few years back during a parenting trial when she was struggling with her children. I've chosen to believe over and over in the foundational truth that God loves me and my family no matter what. That is what we have to tell ourselves. See, the life and death is in the power of the tongue. He tells us to choose life no matter what. She said, I believe with all my heart that his plans were good for me and not meant for harmony, Jeremiah 29:11. See, God got a plan. And because of that, I decided that, yes, I was going to count it all joy, like James said in 1:2-8 says there are many ups and downs in the process. She said, I certainly understood that. The things weren't perfect. I didn't make all the right choices, but I continued to trust God, believe in God, and not waver from God. And he turned it all around. This is why it's important we must let patience have its perfect work. Then another story here. And I share these stories because we need to be able to identify with somebody. As I was saying the other day during Sunday school lesson, I said that it's kind of easy to have a relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit because we don't have a daily interaction with them in the physical. so you can believe in God and just be okay. Just having that belief. But it's difficult when you're in the physical part of it and you don't see God. You may not hear from God directly like you would talk to your husband or your wife or your boss or what have you, or a friend. You have to operate in faith. So we need to have stories of people, we call them testimonies, of people who have overcome in the midst of their trials and tribulation, and how they let their faith move them to ever-increasing faith. So finding joy despite a life-threatening medical condition, hallelujah. About a year into unemployment trial in late July 2017, a new trial added to our lives. Quite suddenly, she said, I must add, this time I was the one who had a life-threatening disease. I had a headache for weeks. I went to the emergency room just to make sure I was okay. That's when the doctor told me that I developed an incredible, serious condition called vertebrae artery dissection. I was immediately taken by ambulance to a specialty intensive care unit and spent the next few days hearing scary words like stroke. You are lucky to be alive. Our family world stopped. Everything on my overcrowded schedule was clear. Now, I just talked to the elder last week about my schedule. We think that everything got to get done. Everything got to be done. Got to move. But I'm learning to reflect back on my professor who said take time to recreate and rejuvenate. But she says her overcrowded schedule was clear. And once I got out of the hospital, I spent my days literally laying flat on my back with all kind of highly powerful medicine racing through my veins. Some of it coming from self-administered injections I had to take round the clock. It was a scary time. But God continued to speak to me about joy in trial. Of course, the situation was very difficult. I still had four kids to take care of and a ministry and a house to run. We still got life going on while you sick. Plus, my health was still incredibly unstable, and I had an ongoing migraine that wouldn't let up. I understand about the migraine. Since I had TBI, end up with TBI, but I never understood. I had an auntie who had migraines, but I never knew the power of those migraines and what they could do to you to put you, render you almost helpless, that I can't even sometimes touch my head, and I don't have no hair on it. It's agonizing. So I imagine what she was going through. But she said, I knew God and how his character is to use difficult circumstances to create good things in our lives. Romans 8:28. She says that we know that in all things God works for the good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things work to good for those who love God. She said, I believe that he had a purpose for my scary health condition. And so I clung to the Bible. I cling to the Bible about the trials and the hard times, and again chose to count it all joy. She chose to count it all joy. She made a decision to count it all joy. And joy is not this touchy-feely thing. It may have those moments, but it's not just something that, I got to feel good. It's a level of trusting, no matter what, that God is going to take care of you. And you have this certainty, as we were talking about, this peace. And then 1 week later, the unthinkable happened. This time I had a mini stroke and was taken back to the emergency room. Satan's still moving, right? The CAT scan confirmed that my other vertebrae artery had now also had a dissection. The doctor couldn't believe that now I had a second dissection and had lived to tell about it. They had never seen anything like this. But this, won't God do it, right? Won't God do it? On the ambulance ride to the hospital, as my body was shaking violently from the soak symptoms, I prayed continually for God's peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. I truly didn't know if I was going to make it, but she had peace. Absent from the body, present in the Lord, it gives you a certain certainty now. You don't fear death. Death, where is thy sting? She said, you had a reason for me to go through this, Lord. I pray, should I live through this, please use this trial to bring joy in my own heart and help me to spread the message of how to have joy through trials to as many people as possible. See, these stories are important. They reiterate what I said. We need to know that we can overcome. We used to say back in old spiritual days, we shall overcome. We need to know that we can overcome in Christ. God saved me that day, and I'm so grateful for what he has continued to teach me about joy through trials, as I am now past my recovery period and have been forced to create a new, slower-paced life for myself. That's why I decided to slow it down. Now, I think I mentioned before I used to study with the Buddhists over in Thailand, and I realized something. Yes, our belief systems were different, but some of the things that we hear about now, mindfulness, which we were already doing, meditation we was already doing, we would call it now prayer, things that some other cultures have, and it's their belief system, you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. See, I remember going in, the young brother, was teaching this, and people were laughing at him. But see, this helps you to slow it down. Take time to take the pause for the call. Rest if you must, but you don't quit. She said that there are times when the headache as a result of the session comes back, and I am forced to clear my schedule and rest for a few days. But God has taught me, has given me an indescribable joy that bring tears to my eyes. Oh, how my character has been shaped through this experience. Oh, what closeness I've developed with God as a result of this trial. God will allow life to slow you down. God will show you in some form or fashion that you need to depend on him. She says, today I'm truly say that, yes, trials are difficult and can be horribly painful to endure, but that's because God's presence through them all. That's because God's presence through them all, you can truly count it all joy when you face trial, because there's so much beautiful spiritual fruit that come from the trial. So what's the moral of the story? In life, we're going to be tested. We're going to experience trials and tribulation, but this is the reason that we saw in our stories that knowing and having a relationship with God is so important. You see, John 16:30, he said, these things I've spoken to, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, it's just not the fact that we are sinners saved by grace, nor is it just about trying not to be a sinner, but more about being a winner in our walk in God to be moved to become sinless. So our faith won't impede our flow with God, and we can stop Satan's mission of trying to kill, steal, and destroy us. See, one thing I personally have learned in my walk, you can't occupy two spaces at once or even do two things at once and be equally effective. Even if you create an illusion that you can, when closely examined, you will see you will feed one more than the other, and the one you feed the most will grow. Therefore, let's keep feeding God's word to our spirit, and let's watch our faith ever increase. You see, this leads me to our conclusion, developing ever-increasing faith in our walk with God. This week, I'm going to go right into the reason ever-increasing faith is so important, and some of the tools from God's word to help us to be delivered from not walking in faith and not increasing in faith. We've all heard the classic word, who, what, where, and where, and how. Well, my friend, let's look at who is telling us we need faith. The scripture tells us a few people told us that we need faith. In Hebrew, Paul is considered the writer. Hebrew 11:16 tells us that, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must diligently seek him. I was talking to my niece today, and she was explaining to me about what I should be doing for our family, blah, blah, blah. And I told her, I said, I've never seen a farmer receive a harvest, didn't plant a seed. She wanted me to contribute to our family, and I said to her, I got no bones with that. I'm a giving by nature. But we all have a responsibility to do our part, to do our part. So if we want to gain something from God, we got to diligently do our part to seek him. That's why it's so important that we spend this quality time with God. Build, as I talked about in another show, that intimate relationship with God. You can't know somebody if you don't spend time with somebody. You see, the dictionary defines faith as complete trust, confidence in someone or something. We can see that Jesus had absolute faith in God, the Father, and encouraged people to have the same kind of faith. You see, one day Jesus' disciple asked them to increase their faith, but he simply replied, If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. This is out of Luke 17:6. You see, Jesus was teaching that with God, nothing is impossible, so all things are possible to those who have faith. So I want to share real quickly three components of faith, or at least a perception of it. There are multiples. I've seen multiples around, but I'll just share this one. You see, one of the most criticisms of Christianity is that our reliance on faith. The implication normally is that faith is blind hope, that if something is true and the opposite of the fact basis, repeatable experimentation that science supposedly produced. Yet faith actually consists of three components that Christians need to be familiar with and be able to explain in response to the blind faith view. They are knowledge. This is the object ideal a person that is actually believing in based on the study of information such as historical documentation, eyewitness account, and experimentation. Knowledge is a doctrinal component of the faith, including Jesus is the Son of God, was born of a virgin, and rose from the dead. The scripture tells us in John 20:31, it says, these things are written so that you may believe that they provide a fact base for believing. Jesus also provides evidence that his natural authority through his miracles. The second one is acceptance. It is not adequate just to know something, to capture the conviction that knowledge is true. You could know about Area 51 and the Fort Lords that are surrounded, but not agree to the idea that alien spaceships is housed there. Trust. Trust takes the knowledge we consent to and moves it to the point of relying and depending on it completely. It's encapsulated in the idea expressed in John 3:16 of believing in Jesus, which said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So let me see if I can make sense of these three components through example. First, let's look at James 2:19 shows us that the demons believe that God was one. We know that the demons are enemies of God, but they know and accept the fact that he exists and he is one being. Thus, even the demons have the first two components of faith, but they are missing the third because they don't rely on him. The second example I want to give from a sermon illustration. In 1850, Charles Blondin walked across Niagara Falls on a wire. He did it many times using very prompts to prove his skill set. One day he asked the crowd if they believed he could carry someone on his back across the falls. Now, based on previous success, the knowledge, the crowd responded that they believed he could do it, assent or acceptance, right? They accepted it. However, when Blondin asked for a volunteer, no one was willing to step forward. While they thought he could do it, they didn't trust the third component. They didn't trust him enough to put his or her life in Blondin's hand. You see, my friends, the three components, trust is the key component. You see, we must allow Jesus to carry us across the bridge, the gap that is to put us, that's between us and God, which is based on the merit of his life and the sacrifice due to his death. rather depending on our own flawed works. We must have faith in Jesus for salvation. This faith isn't blind. This faith isn't blind or unformed. We receive information about Jesus. We agree that it is true, and then depend on God completely to provide the forgiveness that we don't deserve in order to be delivered, developed, and matured to be ready for our destiny. And I talked about the three other components: deliverance, development, and our destiny. So now let's look at the how. I highlighted a few tools that I was trying to close out last week. I'm going to go back over them briefly. And what we need to develop in order to move towards our destiny, because we have a destiny. We're here for a mission. We're here for a purpose, as Rick Warren would say, a purpose-driven life. So hopefully this will help us and others to increase in their faith walk with Christ. As I mentioned last week, we must know God, that God loves us, and that that we have value. Too many people walking around devaluing themselves or allowing others to devalue them because they don't understand that they have value. If God got you on this planet, you got value. God don't care what anybody say. Back when I was a kid, he said, I cannot allow the opinion of someone else to be greater than the opinion I have of myself. I said that because the kids were putting me down so much. But now I say I cannot allow the opinion of someone else be greater than the opinion that God has of me. I'm his child. See, John 17:23 shows us what Jesus wants us to know about our value. I in them and thou in me, that thou may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That says we value. He loved us as much as he loved Jesus. You see, in Romans 8:32, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him, we not freely give us all things? He gave us everything when he gave us Jesus. See, God didn't mind making himself equal with us. He valued us. He said we were fearfully and wonderfully made, that he set us apart, that we were unique, that the angels put it into question. So we got value. If we walk in this belief, we can forever be able to increase in our faith. Why? Because when we draw closer to God, he draws closer to us. As I said earlier, you can't have a relationship with somebody you don't get close to. Imagine a husband and wife. I know back in the old days when I was growing up, when the Lucille Ball show was on, and they were sleeping in separate beds. Ain't going to be no procreation. Ain't going to be no new generation if they don't come close. There's an intimacy that is required. That is the same that is required of us. We got to get close to God, and he will get close to us. Now, I'm not talking about you going to be sinless. So this is what put a lot of people away, because I talked about that in the first series. A lot of people get wrapped around the idea that I'm not worthy enough or I'm never going to be good enough because I cannot be sinless. The objective is for us to strive, as Paul says, strive towards the mark of protection. Strive towards a mark of perfection, that maturity that helps us to move to be sinless. And like I say, you can't occupy two spaces at once. So many times that I'm so busy is because if I allow myself to feed my old man, I can't work on my new man. So I spend more time working on my new man so I'm not preoccupied with my old man, even though he gets in my head all the time. He gets in my head all the time. And when I miss it, I dust my feet off. Like Les Brown said, if I'm flat on my back, if I can look up, I can get up. And I get up, and I thank God that I can move forward. Hallelujah. The word tells us in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinner, and purify your heart. And your double-minded man, create in me, God, and reclean heart, and renew the right spirit in me. That's what we want to do. I believe God understands us. He understood us before we come out the womb. So as I begin to mature and walk in this walk, you can't move me too quickly now to put me in an emotional guilt trip, because I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'm moving forward. I'm trusting God. And that's what we all got to do. See, we must strive to see the vision of who we are to become. See, Jesus understood the importance. Imagine now, if you will, with Malcolm, if we looked at people for who they become. With this story of Malcolm being told he couldn't be a Malcolm X, couldn't be a lawyer, all he could be was a janitor. Imagine if she had showed him something different. He would may have not went down those roads he went down before he became the articulate speaker. But sometimes we have to go through the trials and tribulations, as the young lady said, to build the spiritual muscle necessary to have the courage and the confidence to stand before people and tell them the truth. And that is our responsibility, to share the good news. Imagine if Jesus could not see that Simon was going to become Peter. Imagine if Jesus could not see that Saul was going to become Paul. We would not have these words today. But Jesus showed them how to see the vision. And that's what we have to help us to do. See the vision of what God intended for us was to be and to become, as Michelle Obama would say. Then we have to demonstrate commitment. We must always show God that we're committed to his plan for our lives. See, faith without works is dead. For as a disciple walking with Christ for 3 years, he demonstrated what commitment was. He was committed to them. He said, I didn't come to serve. I didn't come to be served. I come to serve. How are we serving? Do we think we're serving because I see abundance of places where you can go pick up food? But I can give you some food, but if I make you feel less than a man, what difference did it make? My belly full, but my spirit deprived. Man shall not live by bread alone. We have to make that change. Matthew 19:27, Peter answered and said, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Eternal life. Eternal life, abundant life, blessings beyond blessings, healing, peace, joy, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness. Hallelujah. What is it for us? A whole lot. And then we must establish ourselves in the four fundamentals of growth. As I always like to say, we must establish ourselves to understand the true meaning of love. I'm going to say this because I love this scripture. Imagine a world that operated out of this premise. Love that is patient and kind, is not envy, is not boastful, is not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrong, a love that does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, a love that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. Imagine a world like that. Imagine a world like that. We wonder why nothing turned around, because we're too self-seeking. We're too busy dishonoring others. We're too proud-minded. Imagine a world like that. Then secondly, we must establish ourselves in the word of God. Blessed is the man, Psalm says this, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river that bring forth in his season the fruit of the Spirit, I would say. His leaf also not wither, and whatever he shall do shall prosper. Hallelujah. Then we must abide in God's truth to keep us free. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Do you want to be free? Because he that he set free is free indeed. When we talk about freedom, we celebrated Independence Day not too long ago. You talk about real freedom. When you got freedom in God, you got peace of mind. As Bishop Butler said one time, you be like a dead man in a casket. You can say what you want. You can hit him. You can slap him. You do what you do. But he ain't budging. He ain't moved by the nonsense. Hallelujah. And the next, we must trust in God's word. He is our shield. Everything. God provides our protection, our armor. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He is the shield to those who put their trust in him. This wisdom has proven itself trustworthy over and over again. He says that in the word that he who keep his mind on thee, he will give him perfect peace. Why? Because he trusts him. Why are we trusting in ourselves and man, if you will? We're too inconsistent. I like to say we should have reasonable trust. What is reasonable? What is reasonable? Based on what you can see a man do in his actions. Now, if you want to take it the next step and trust him blindly, that's okay. But what will keep you at the peace is trusting God that he will work through man to meet the expectation that is the part of the plan he has for your life. Hallelujah. Number five, I'll just move right on. Number five is establish our prayer life. Prayer is so important that we need to know, if you will, the basic steps and forms, what prayer is about: adoration, repentance, thanksgiving, supplication. And we should take these kind of steps. Abide in Christ the vine. Pray in faith. Stand on God's word. Pray in the spirit. Continue to pray. Use the different types of prayer and flow in God's love. Everything that we do, we should be doing it in love. And these scriptures, I think, will help us to be able truly to have that helpful, help us to grow in our prayer life, if you will. Sorry, I was checking my time. James 1:6 tells us, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blow, tossed by the wind. Now, I've come to the point that the head, the mind, which is the battlefield, you can get caught up in that doubt in your head. But see, when you recognize the importance that you are a spirit housed in a body with a soul of a mind, will, and emotion, and you begin to feed the one you want to grow. So you feed the mind with God's word. Why is that important? Because if you feed the mind, you'll be transforming the mind. So now doubt, was, it would say with death, doubt doesn't have its sting. It doesn't have its impact, because now every time when Satan would show up in the wilderness with Jesus, he would turn around and tell him it is written. But nothing in, nothing can come out. You see, we remember that the demons understood what God was about. They understood the scripture, and they knew who Jesus was. Why do we don't know? As I said earlier, I sent out texts, and I know top reading is 5 minutes. But people say, I ain't got time. Nothing in you. And I don't write nothing without scripture backup, because I know within me, I'm limited. But if the word says it, I can stand on it. So I send it out, and I'm not looking for glory for me, but when I hear someone says that, I question, okay, what are you trying to grow? Who are you feeding? Because now you can feed a series or a marathon of Wendy Williams, Steve Harvey, Moby Povich, Jerry Springer. What you think they going to do when the demons come up against you? Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Hello. Wake up call. James 5:6 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Prayer is powerful and effective. It can knock walls down of doubt and fear and worry. But you got to pray. It's everybody's time frame of praying is different. But you got to have time. Sometimes people thought that in rearing children, they got to spend all day with their kids. No, quality time. If I know that as I tell people all the time, I don't care what you do, just let me know what you do. I can adapt accordingly. As Bruce Lee used to say, you got to be like water. You got to be fluent, because water adapts. If you stick it in a bottle, it will take the form of the bottle. If you stick it in a box, a plastic container, it'll take the form of that. You got to be flexible and adaptable. So don't use the excuse, you don't have time. You ain't making time. We're not talking being saintly here. I will rephrase that. We're not talking about being without flaw. We're talking about striving towards becoming, so we can get that ever-increasing faith in God. And then we cannot leave off the gathering of each other. Matthew 18:20 said, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them. Fellowship is important. Fellowship is important. And then Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without cease, everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, the ultimate purpose of prayer is not simply to change your situation, but primarily to increase change in you into who God intended you to be, Christ-like. Why? Because God's ultimate purpose, the goal for you on this earth, is for you to grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Ephesians 4:15. And last but not least, establish fellowship. 1 John 1:7 said, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to walk in the light. If you're walking in darkness and you don't have no light, and the elder told me the other day, I said, you know, I'm trying to let my light shine. I ain't got much. He said, David, he said, a little flicker of light still expels the darkness. Just like Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, you can say unto the mountain, you can say to your circumstances, you can say to your situation, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Lord, you don't doubt in your heart. Believe when you pray, you receive. But let patience have its perfect work. See, people want magic. They want instamatic. That's not how it happened. Noah had to wait 120 years before the manifestation or the completion, if you will, of that ark. So we got to get in our head how important patience is. And Hebrews 3:13-16 says, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. And 1 John 1:3 tells us that what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. Too many people are in isolation. We say in the Army all the time, community builds and isolation kills. People are sitting at home alone, can't call nobody, don't have anybody to call. Nobody won't call them. Some of it is by your own hand, and some of it is just the way we are as people. But we need to stop doing that, and especially those who now are trying to grow in Christ. Jesus understood the importance of fellowship. He picked up 12 men. And you know, 12 men come together from all walks of life, you got some egos bumping around. But Jesus didn't entertain that because he saw what they were to become. He didn't entertain the smallness of a shallow thought of the ego because he wasn't going to let you edge God out. He understood the bigness, the greatness of what they would become when their ego was pushed back. So he spent 3 years with them. Fellowshipping. Are you spending that quality time with people? Are you giving them a call? Are you spending out this day? You don't have to talk, you don't have to talk to them, you can text them. Sometimes just saying I love you to somebody in a text with all the little emojis and all the little things I'm not all hip about. But at the end of the day, those things can be the difference that make a difference. I used to always say, hello can change a person's way of what they get ready to do to themselves if harm was their mission. And then Proverbs tells us in 27:17, iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, as we see through this series that no one is without sin or perfect, we have seen that God will use the person, the worldview as the worst sinner, the liar, the cheater, the murderer, the drunk, etc., to achieve his plan that he has for our lives. As long as we walk in the faith that is totally dependent on him, he will not leave us or forsake us, but deliver us, develop us towards our destiny to finish the work that he started in us to completion. This is what ever-increasing faith is all about, moving us towards our destiny. Hallelujah. So the latter part of my show is faith. My acronym the Holy Spirit gave me was full assurance in the heaven. Having confidence is something that you can't see can be difficult, to say the least. Why? Because most of us are conditioned to see it first and believe it later. How did Jesus point out to Thomas in the scripture in John 20:29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You can see from Jesus' own lips that blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. This is full assurance in the heavens. Trust in our Heavenly Father through faith, despite the fact that we cannot see it. I want to point out that many times we don't believe because we base our trust on man's philosophy, man's views, and man's meaning. And even though we know that we understand that man's knowledge and wisdom has its place. But if we want to move mountains, if we want to heal by faith, if we want to ever increase in faith, we must lean not to our understanding, but in all our ways. Even when we fall short, we must acknowledge him, and he will direct our path towards that ever-increasing faith. Don't let when you slip and fall stop you from getting back up. Don't let nothing turn you around. That was one of Les Brown's. That's one thing I used to love about hearing him talk. And he said, don't let nothing turn you around. Nothing. And I'm going to go back to the scripture because I don't remember it thoroughly, hallelujah, but God will give me this again because I'm going to repeat this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any power, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation, remember, all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have a wonderful God who is allowed to give who will allow the Holy Spirit to put this in Paul's heart to let us see this. We have to start to believe this through faith. We cannot allow the things of the world, the people in the world, the people who don't believe, who haven't got there yet. See, I'm hopeful. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you murdered 100 people in the sense of, I don't like the sin, but I still can believe that God can turn you around. Yes, if that was my child, I'd be angry. I ain't going to perpetrate. I'd be disappointed. I might even want to do harm in my physical. But I believe I'm at a point now like the people who were shot up in that church. I would go and pray. I'd cry like a baby. I'd be broke down like nobody did, but I would pray. And I would trust God's plan no matter what. I know that's difficult. Even Peter said, I would not leave you. I would be there for you. But I believe that's why it's important for us to keep standing God's word so we can continue to increase in our faith, that if the worst tragedy is a tragedy, I thought losing my daughter was the worst of worst. But I held on. I kept my faith. I can say with authority, I didn't get upset with God. I just looked at the fact that this was his plan. All a part of the plan. And you know the funny thing about it? Life would show, as that young lady said in the story, that you would one day be able to help somebody else. A fellow soldier of mine had lost a child in a drowning incident. And it was man to man, black man to white man. And I told him my story. And it helped his soul. It helped him to move forward and not be angry with God. So God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing, even in our worst case scenario. But again, we cannot experience it unless we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So that's the most important thing. That again, if someone came on the line late and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, take a pause for the call. Confess with your mouth and believe your heart that Jesus died for you, that he loves you, that he values you, that you are important, that he recognizes you. He is always listening to you, and he cares about you. And nothing can separate you from his love. Once you accept him as your personal heart, once you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior into your heart, life will begin to unfold. And sometimes it may even look worse than it began than prior to you accepting him. But don't lose hope. See, the four elements of love is that love always protects, it always creates hope, and always builds trust, and always preserves. It preserves the love for us to continue to trust him. So again, I thank you, and I hope this helped a little bit to give you that hope that you can have ever increase in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there are many dynamic speakers. Tomorrow will be Pastor Prophet Teresa. Thursday will be Elder QT. Make sure, and all the other hosts ministers and teachers that will help us to grow, to continue to build our faith. Member, fellowshipping. This teacher is fellowshipping. Let somebody know. again, and I'm back on Thursdays myself, too, for FM AM for Men About Men. If you want to contact us at the home office, 313-583-9739, and so into the ministry, which is www.gibify.com, which is spelled GIVELIFY.com, ministry costs. Not to line the pockets, but to prepare for the future of people, so we all would be like those five maidens. We will have our oil when Jesus returns. As always, in parting, I'd like to say with you, you pray for me and I pray for you, and let's watch the miraculous things that God will do in faith. Have a blessed week.